Good morning. This reminds me of, I was going to say many years ago, but a few years ago when the church was much smaller. Or anyways, the people that gathered at Moorfield, there wasn't as many. It seems like there's not as many out this morning. And yet, Jesus doesn't want, the Bible says that God doesn't desire anybody that anybody would perish. But we see that Jesus in his earthly ministry wasn't that interested in numbers. He ministered to one or two or five or 5,000 in the same way. And we're thankful that the Spirit of God is here where two or three are gathered together. The Spirit of God is where we are, isn't it? Because of in our hearts, the Spirit of God is. And when we get together, there's a witness of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Thank you for those songs that we heard this morning. I sang this morning. It was very, very precious to me. Does anybody remember last week what we talked about? One person. What about Randy back there? Do you remember? Were you here last week? You weren't here. Well, thanks for being here today. Maybe we'll have to. Ray, you had your, what was the discussion about last week? Oh, there's a mic here, sorry. Go ahead and.
Well, you started with signs you'd seen on a church. I think one said something about Jesus in blue jeans, and the other sign more recently said Jesus parted with sinners, and you started with the question of whether that actually is who Jesus is, right. In a nutshell.
Right. Good. And I'm glad you mentioned that. I would have forgot about that. I said that about Jesus in blue jeans. A brother came to me after and said, "Are you against wearing blue jeans?" And the point is, no, that is not the point. I was thinking about that actually in the way to church here this morning and thinking, we were talking about two people that we know many years ago, they're my age, they got married. The one was a Mennonite and the other one was a Catholic. And the fact is, there was no dispute, they were of one spirit, the Mennonite and the Catholic. And the Catholic was not a Christian, the Catholic was not born again. Now, that's the point that I wanted to bring across is the wrong spirit of it, that partying with sinners, Jesus partied with sinners, probably would be better off on a sign in a hotel or something like that. The mixture, what I was concerned about is the mixture that we have in our day of so-called Christianity and the real stuff. And that's what I'm concerned about, was concerned about. I'm not exactly going to talk about that today, but I am going to talk about it in a sense. My question is, well, that one verse that we read, I think George read it actually. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, I open the door." Now, if we would, I'm not very good at drawing, so. And I'm not trying to draw much here, but I'll put a doorknob there. If that would be the door, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." He also said that he was the door. And we put a cross right in the middle there of that door, because you can't get in that door without the cross. And what other things is there that... I should get my notes out here, but I usually end up not looking at them anyway. But what other things is there that... Did I have my marker here somewhere? I don't know where I put it. Maybe this one. What other things is there that come to your mind? When you got born again, what things in your mind... what was the attitude of your heart? How did you get in that door? And you know, I liken this door a little bit. And you think about that. Where does unity start? What is unity? Jesus said, I am the truth. He also said the spirit of truth. He talked about the Holy Spirit coming. That is the spirit of truth. But what is unity? Where does it... The church is the pillar and the ground of the truth. You know, I was thinking about this door. We have a door. Every church building has a door. The people that are the core group of the church, are they part of, that came in this door? The group in the church. The church as it's gathered here this morning, and I guess we can't say the church as it's gathered somewhere else because we are here. But what qualities do you want to... We sang that song. What was that song that Ibra mentioned this morning about... I remember the song, but about coming to Jesus. What, for the sinner to come to Jesus, what qualities does it take for a person to enter into the door? That's pretty important. We sang this morning that deathbeds are coming, didn't we? We sang that this morning. And I had to think, I had a 16-year-old brother that passed away that died. 16 years old. 14 when he got leukemia. Headed for 20 months and he passed away. Into eternity forever. And I'm glad he's in heaven. I know that. A very mature boy at 16. Extremely mature. The maturity that the Lord Jesus Christ brought upon him when he was sick was immense. And it was amazing. But anyways, all I'm trying to say is that it's important that we enter in that door and stay in that door. Now, some reason. Yes, there's a verse in Ecclesiastes here that says, and speaking of our works and staying in that door, we could say, I mean, we can... bring many, but it says, if the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. If the tree shall fall, now I want you to get this, if the tree shall fall toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. Our works, you can't add or subtract anything from what you've done on this earth. You can't. When you're dead, when you have died, when you've entered into eternity, the tree is still living. When it falls, it's got no power. There's no recourse in that calling when the Lord Jesus calls us home. But when he calls us, what are some things that come to your mind as you, and it doesn't have to be personal, but as you think of coming to the Lord, and I'm saying these things because of what I said last week. We talked about Christ and him, the humanity of Christ. And if you read in John chapter, he says, I'll read the verse. For I came, 17, John, for I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them and have known surely that I came out from thee, that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. But that Jesus came out from God, and he was that much like God that he asked, Thomas, I forget which one now, have you so long time known me and you haven't seen the Father? But anyway, I keep getting off my subject. I'm asking this question. I'm not giving you much chance to... Faith, okay? That's good. Anybody else have anything? I might spell wrong, but I hope you can forgive me here. I could ask somebody else to do this probably, but... Okay, is there anything else? Any other things? There's some other things that... Helplessness, okay? Anything else? He's got the mic there, I think. He's walking around, so... David is, so... actually have somebody up here.
Those two words are excellent. I like to emphasize, you asked the question about how you felt in conversion and born again. Is totally the helplessness, and you called for Jesus, help me. Mm. And the Bible says, every knee shall bow.
Which submission. That'd be submission, right?
Yes. I take that. Every knee means self, those that are self-righteous, the sinner, every knee shall bow. Mm-hmm. And then all what we do have, if we come to conversion, is Jesus, help me.
Hmm. Man, thank you. Thanks for sharing that. Reynold,
it takes understanding too. Understanding.
Understanding.
Yeah, like understanding the.
Okay.
The gospel.
Understanding. Well, how else could we? God opens the eyes of the blind, but understanding, I'm not sure what other. I'd like to put a smaller word up here because I'm not very good at this. But anyways, anybody else? He opens the eyes of the blind, understanding, that's what you're saying, right?
True repentance.
Repentance. Amen, brother. That's what I've been thinking of. That's the word I've been thinking of all week. Repent.
Brokenness.
Sorry?
Brokenness.
Brokenness. Amen. Anything else? We could print up here that he is Lord of all. Right? And when we come to him, he is Lord. He is the one that we give our lives to. What else? Is there anything else?
I think there's an aspect of spiritual diligence. 2 Peter 1, 10 and 11 says, therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if
just
you
a minute, who's talking here? Oh, you. Okay, sorry, brother.
For
I want to look at you.
For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
What was the beginning of that verse? Can you read that again? Sorry, I was looking around for who this was.
Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure, for if you do these things, you will never stumble.
Hmm. Is there one word that we can get out of that? Or two words? I'm trying to think, but
diligence or spiritual diligence.
Spiritual diligence. I thought I was a good speller when I went to school, but it's been a long time. And I probably wasn't anyways, I just thought so. So. Anything else? Now, my question is there anything else? You can say it whenever you want. Do anybody else? I think we should ask some of the young people here. Janice, what do you think? Randy, you're next. You can just give it back to Randy next. So.
I was thinking about the acceptance of God's love.
Just a minute here. Oh, I can't hear you. What's that?
I was thinking about the acceptance of God's love.
Acceptance
how
of.
We can do nothing. It's only Jesus and the cross that really gets us in the door.
Acceptance of God's love. So we'll just put love down here. But it's only the cross. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And, you know, there's places in the world today that if you would say that, they would want to cut your head off or persecute you. And here we are. We can say that Jesus Christ is the only way, and he will continue to be the only way, and he will be the only way forever. He is the only way. And anyways, yeah, I get carried away with that, but no, I don't get carried away, but I'm maybe saying too much. Randy, you got the mic there? Is the mic working?
Yes, it is. I really didn't have anything, but I thought of maybe prayer.
Good, good. That's we come to him by talking to him, right? Now, we got these things up here. What part does rebellion have? No, I got run out of room there. But what part does rebellion have there? The foot of the cross is where all this belongs. Well, when we oppose these things, we oppose, for example, submission, authority, we're telling God that he doesn't know better. We're telling God that really you're the way you have designed things. You don't know as good as I do. I know better than you. And I was thinking about this. That the door creates unity in the church. Yes, contrite heart, repentance, diligence, we have those things there. But the door also is a part of the Holy Spirit, and I didn't ask for this, but the Holy Spirit comes into our life and into our heart, and he does that. And as he comes into our heart, it makes us one of one spirit, right? Now, and we want to be of one spirit. Unity is of utmost importance. And this is where the unity starts. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. And that's my verse for today. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. As you have received this, walk in it. That is of utmost importance. And that's what happens. Many people have received Jesus Christ. Many people, including myself, I haven't always walked. Maybe don't God opened my eyes to see where I am not walking in these things. But this is how I accepted you, Lord. I didn't accept you through rebellion. And the scriptures talk about the fact of the order of authority. And I was just thinking about that. And I actually, maybe I should read some of them verses. If I can think of them now. For example, there's one in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 3, talks about the headship order. The Bible says also that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if judgment begins at the house of God, it's going to begin first with the leadership of the church, the leadership of the homes. That's where the judgment is going to begin first. Let's bring it down practical. I had to think about this week, because if we bring it down practical, judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of Jesus Christ? And we know at the end it's going to be that it be not the gospel. Second, or Thessalonians, it says they're going to be burned in hell fire. That obey not the gospel, it says there. And the gospel, here is the gospel. But, you know, this is the gospel right here. This is the gospel. And when the scripture says something, we do well to take heed to what the gospel says, don't we? And I think you all agree with that. I'm getting a little bit off. It says, first of all, what I wanted to say is, you know, we are to be one, and we are one through Jesus Christ. But if there's some of these things lacking in my life, we can help each other to bring each other along, but the oneness can be distorted. Now, the scripture talks in John 17 about if the, you know, the world, that they may be one, even as we are one, and I and them, and thou and me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me. But there's often verses that are missed, that I think that are missed. You have to start sooner in the verse, and if you want to find out, it talks about truth, and if you want the world to know, if we want the world to know that Hessen Christian Fellowship is of Jesus Christ, we must be founded on the truth of the gospel. There's nothing more, I just wrote this down here, nothing so surely drives the world away from the truth as uncertainty or confusion in the church with respect to the content of her message. That's why the Bible says, after the second and third, admonition, reject the heretic, because they are going to bring disunity in the church. They maybe came through the door, but they are not here. And this is where we want to be. And God help us. Give us revival, Lord, so we can be here. We need God to open our eyes so that we can be here, so we can be there. But it says here, sanctify them through thy truth. Jesus prayed this, thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. And that's powerful. And there's a verse that I feel like I have to read. And Peter, and I think if you give me a second here. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. Yeah, well, we could go into so many things here. Like, read Galatians chapter 6. Read Romans 15:14 that talks about admonishing one another. That's pure love fervently. Do I really care about my brother, about our sisters, sister to sister, brother to brother, I guess? Do we really care enough to implement them verses? It says, brother, if a man be overtaken in a fault, go to him. Consider yourself, lest, you know, and that's the verse, I just used to read the bottom of that verse. Consider myself, lest I be tempted, so I shouldn't, you know, we all say that, where will we be? And we want to love each other. Truly, that's a good one, love. But love often is distorted in what the world, even in courtship, love is distorted. You know, the world finds it hard to know the difference, and they don't know the difference between passion and love. They don't know the difference. And the Bible, well, yeah, on love, it's amazing what we could, there's lots to, yeah. Anyways, does anybody have anything to share? This is supposed to be a Bible study, and I want the mic to be passed around, so. I think Paul's thinking up here. I don't know if he has anything to say or not. You got something to share, brother? He can wait, he says, okay. Well, The Spirit of truth, that's what we want. The Bible says to put on the Lord Jesus Christ, which is the Spirit of truth. The door, which is the door into eternity, is right there, is Jesus Christ. I was thinking about, actually, if I can find it here, Hebrews. Hebrews speaks of something on the authority issue. It's Hebrews also are, where is it anyways? It verse just comes, it says, children, obey your parents. Talks about wives. God has ordained this. Wives being in submission to their authorities, to their authority. Children, talks about children. It talks about us as, and I can't find it now. Obey them that have the rule over you. Submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls. They watch for your souls, as they must give an account. That's what the Hebrew writer says, that they must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for me and for you. That's what the Bible says. And I was just thinking about this as I was thinking about submission and you know, and understanding, repentance. When I came to the Lord, you know, yes, I think probably, and probably for yourself, probably all of these, we said, Lord. We were all submitting ourselves to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. But what does the Lordship of Jesus Christ look like in practicality? Sometimes our flesh doesn't always like how it looks. My flesh, I guess, and maybe I'm just exposing myself. But really, when you know, I think really the reason I don't like this word at times, the reason I don't like any of these at times, because I've drifted away from, as ye have therefore received the Lord, so keep being like that. It's so easy for me, and that's why we're here. That's why we're gathered together in like this. The Bible talks about esteeming the authorities very highly for their work's sake. And that's in, I'm just going to read that. Here it is. 1 Corinthians 5, we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, to esteem them very highly in love for the work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. You know, Scripture does talk about the teaching of the Word and how the teaching of the Word, we should be one, that we would speak the same thing. And if we speak the same thing, there will be a unity. There will be a peace. And as we have peace and unity through the truth, we can bring the world to Jesus Christ. I believe that. But God needs to bring a revival in my heart, that's for sure. A continual, how do we keep a continual revival would be another question that we could ask. So, the spirit of, in conclusion, I think we could say that the spirit of truth, Jesus is the spirit of truth. John says that the spirit of truth is, always lifts up Jesus Christ. If you go into, and I wasn't planning on saying that, if you go into a church service and there is a spirit there of lifting up the Holy Spirit, that is not the real spirit. And I can just quick turn to that because that's a strong statement, but I believe in John, it's very clear. As Jesus Christ lifted up God, always lifted up God, always lifted up his Father, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, lifts up Jesus Christ, lifts up the door, lifts up the cross. It says, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. Jesus is saying this. Howbeit, when he is come, the Spirit of truth, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself. But whosoever he shall, whatsoever he shall hear, that shall you speak. He shall glorify me. It's in a matter of a few verses here. He shall glorify me. Yeah, there's a verse in, wow, Revelations. The heart, okay, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy, which really means that the heart of all proclamation is Christ. It is not the Spirit. That's the work of the Spirit. The work of the Spirit is to lift up Jesus Christ. The work of the Spirit is to draw men and women to the cross. The work of the Spirit is to bring truth to the churches. The work of the Spirit is to bring repentance, to bring faith, to show us our helplessness, submissiveness, understanding, repentance, brokenness, diligence, love, and prayer. The opposite of being passive. The work of the Spirit is not to be passive. It's the work of the Spirit, and I am talking about the Spirit. But if we are preaching, proclaiming Christ, and we are putting the Spirit at the same level. You know, when Jesus Christ came into my heart, I say when Jesus Christ came into my heart, I don't say, and we can say when the Spirit of God came into our heart, there's nothing wrong probably, but for me it was when Jesus Christ actually came into my heart, I didn't say the Spirit of God came into my heart, I said Jesus came into my heart, he put his Spirit in my heart, but it was the work of the Spirit. And amen, we say hallelujah to that. It's a wonderful thing to know Jesus Christ. It's heavenly. I don't know what words that explain how wonderful it is to have faith, to realize our helplessness, to realize that submission to authority will guide me into truth, because it's the Spirit of truth. Submission to authority. You know, an animal all caged up can feel, if I only was outside, I would have freedom. If I'd only be outside my cage, well, there might be hunters outside the cage that will shoot it if it's outside the cage. So, repentance. We need, oh Lord, give us repentance. The spirit of repentance would be amongst my own heart, amongst my own life, and continue to repent. What does the Bible say? That it is the Spirit, it is the goodness of God that leadeth thee to repentance. And certainly, it is the goodness of God. The goodness of God. It doesn't say it's the goodness of the Holy Spirit that leadeth thee to repentance. He does it through the Holy Spirit, but repentance is the goodness of God. I must quit here soon. I'm looking for some verses in Acts here. If I can find them quickly. People that didn't repent. They shook off the dust of their feet. Apostle Paul. He said, we're going to turn to the Gentiles. It was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, that's to the Jews, but seeing ye put it from you and judge yourself unworthy of everlasting life. Wow, imagine judging yourself unworthy of everlasting life. We are going to turn to the Gentiles. Guess what? You know, the Spirit in Revelations there in the churches, the Spirit, if these things aren't abiding here and we don't abide in this, the Spirit can leave. The Spirit can leave, and we can still get together and talk about Jesus. We can still get together and talk about the songs. I was at a Catholic. A man passed away that I was working for. There was four brothers, I think. And one of them passed away, and he was Catholic. I went to the service in Listowel. And my spirit was not one with their spirit. They were of a different spirit. The Spirit of God maybe was never there, and Catholicism for sure not. Catholicism is not of the Spirit of God. It is not uplifting Jesus Christ, but you know, they sang some of the same songs, some hymns or some temporary hymns, some of the same ones that we might sing. And I'm thinking, wow, that's sad. And I had a stirring of the Spirit in me, and there's 1,000 people there, and it's almost like I felt like going up there and telling them what the truth is. Forget about your wafers and all the works you're doing. Believe in the righteousness and the glory of Jesus Christ. He is the only way. But there are times, you know, Samson, he wist not that the Spirit of God had left him, I think it says. He didn't know. And that's the problem with deception. People don't know. We don't know. When we're deceived and the Spirit leaves, it's a sad day. It's a sad day for the church. For the churches, and there are churches around us that are talking about the Spirit of God and don't have the Spirit of God. I could take you to some. People that I've grown up with, are going to church, and they're talking about Jesus Christ. When they pray, the pastor reads his prayer off, and they're more concerned about saying the right words, and they've went, I guess, probably university, or they've learned and taught themselves how to say the right things and do the right, say the right words at the right time. And yes, they're very good at making notes and at following their notes, and you know, there's a lot of things they're very good at, but that's beside the point. But that's where they're at. Anyway, the Jews stirred up, they devout honorable women. The Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women of the chief men of the city, and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coasts. But they shook off the dust of their feet against them. There's Paul again. He knew. He shook off the dust of his feet, and he was a discerning man. But I'm glad that the gospel came to the Gentiles. The gospel came to the Gentiles, and they shook off the dust of their feet, one place it says, and they went to the Gentiles. And we can be thankful today that the gospel is here with us. I'd like to read a verse. I don't know if it says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." Let us be in that door. As ye have therefore received the Lord, Christ Jesus Lord, walk in him. And as that we wouldn't just say the words, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." Think of that. Think of the fact that we can actually enter into the holiest of all. Wow, that's amazing. When you think of God and his wrath and his hatred for sin, that he has loved us enough and came down, and that he has made these things available to mankind. And here we are. Let us walk in truth. Let us walk in these things. Lord bless.